And a welcome to our guests this morning and the congregation from Alston who is joining us. We thank you for being here. This morning, many of us are also here to support Pastor Jesse, Judy, and their family. And we thank all those who have come for that reason. But we also come here to hear the word of the Lord. And this morning, we're going to take a look at a text in which the disciples get to see Jesus glorified. They get to see him talking to the heroes of their youth. And we will see that in the end, that all that stands is Jesus Christ himself and the words that come from God himself, of whom we are to listen to. This same God who sent Jesus Christ to go to the cross to forgive our sins will also glorify us, as we heard from Corinthians. And because of this promise to each and every one of us, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. And as you are able, I would ask that you would please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And it came to pass, about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud overshadowing them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. Amen. Please be seated. About 8 days after these sayings, he took with him Peter, John, and James, and went upon the mountain to pray. Now this text, really to understand what's going on, we have to look back and see what was going on. It comes very soon after Peter had made the announcement on behalf of the disciples to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, was his answer. And Jesus then told them of his death and of his resurrection. And he told them about their death, because he asked that they would deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow him. Not something that most people want to hear. Pick up your instrument of death and follow me. And Jesus really asks all of us to come to our death. The death of our self-interest, the death of our selfishness, and life in service to him, in service to others, that he would give us a new life. And so, as was his custom, he was going up on the mountain to pray. And Peter, James, and John get to witness something that's absolutely amazing. And as he was praying, his appearance and his face was altered, and his clothes became dazzling white. Peter and James and John get the opportunity to see Jesus Christ in his glorified state, in the perfection of humanity. And it's interesting because as I was reading this text and studying it, I had a few conversations this week and in the past week as I was thinking about it. And I thought about how fragile humankind is because of the fall of mankind. We see all kinds of struggles. Most basically today, I have two that have affected me very closely. Jesse, with his cancer, and my brother-in-law Charlie with his stroke and heart problems. How close we are as human beings always to this point of death of this body. And yet we were never supposed to face these things. This was not in God's plan. This deterioration that we see as age comes upon us was not part of it. God's plan was that there would be no death. And so, when sin entered the world, God already knew that He was going to deal with it. He knew that He was going to send His Son so that we would not have to face death. And this is the reason that He sent His Son. So that even despite our sin, we would have hope of being raised to new life. To be glorified, as Corinthians tells us, with Him. And we all, with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. You see, this is a promise that we have for all of us, that we would not forever remain in this flesh, the corrupted nature, but we would believe in Jesus Christ and what He has done for us, and we would be raised to His glorious resurrection. And the other thing that they get to see is these two men, whom they had heard about, I'm sure, from the time that they were little children, Moses and Elijah. And behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, which he was about to accomplish. Now here we have the one whom God gave the law through, Moses. The one who everyone in Israel looked up to, wrote the first five books of what we would call the Bible. The thing that was studied all the time. The person whom people would say that you needed to follow. And then we have Elijah. One of the greatest of the Old Testament prophets. He brought the word of the Lord to the people. Told them of their sin. Told them of their restoration. And they're there talking with Jesus Christ. And it's not an idle conversation. They spoke of Jesus' death. They spoke of Him going to Jerusalem, allowing Himself to be delivered into the hands of the chief priests, the scribes, and the hands of the Romans under Pontius Pilate. And there He was to be nailed to the cross. Not before He would be rejected and ridiculed and beaten. Taking upon Himself our punishment. Allowing His blood to be shed for the forgiveness of our sins. Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was going to face. And yet he loved us enough that he was willing to do it. Willing to face death. The death of a sinner. Willing to face the rejection of his own chosen people. Willing to allow himself to be turned into the hands of sinful men so that we could kill him. Make no mistake. We could blame the Jews, we could blame the Romans. But Jesus Christ went to that cross for our sin. Just as if we would have pounded the nails ourselves. And he does this willingly because of his great love for each and every one of us. And this is what he talks about with Moses and Elijah. And this is really, it seems, where Peter, James, and John begin to wake up. Now Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, but they became fully awake. And they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. And so Peter and the disciples, James and John, they see Jesus Christ in all his glory. They see the resurrection in part through Moses and Elijah. And they see the kings of kings standing there. And this is a great thing. And Peter really brings that forefront. And as the men were parting from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tabernacles or three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Not knowing what he was saying. Now, it's very interesting because really when you look back at this, you understand that Peter in some way understood who Jesus was. For he was the one who announced that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And yet, in this statement, we see that he puts Moses and Elijah on the same plane as Jesus Christ. He wants to build the three tents. One for each of them, that they would stay there. But God has a much, much different idea about what is supposed to happen. As important as Moses and Elijah were, God makes it very plain in our next verses that he is the one that we are to pay attention to. And as he was saying these things, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. And the voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my Son, my chosen one. Listen to him." And this is really the crux of our text. This is the thing that becomes important. Moses and Elijah, very important. But Jesus Christ is the ultimate. He is the Son of the living God, the Messiah, the Lamb of God, the one who will take away our sin. If you want to know who to listen to him. Many times, unfortunately, we want to go back. Let's go back. Let's make sure that we know the commandments. Let's make sure we know all those things in the law. Jesus Christ gives us a new command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself. In these, the law and the prophets are summed up. If we want to know what it's like to be a Christian, we look at the example, at Christ Himself. We see how He treats people. We see what He does. We see how He deals with sinners. Never rejecting them. Not with those who are outright and open sinners. Those He shows love, compassion, and grace for. It is those who are self-righteous, who think that they are holy. As He deals with the scribes and the Pharisees, that He has no time for. And He is very harsh upon them. But those who are humble, knowing who they are within this flesh, He treats with love and compassion. Because if we are honest with ourselves, we understand that no matter what sin we list, we can be part of it. We have that capability in this flesh. But as believers, as those who have come to understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, we are being transformed. By the power of His Holy Spirit, He is working on us. He is working in and through us. That we would bring His Word. That we would truly listen to Him. And that we would pick up our cross and follow Him. And He is calling us to our death. The death of what we want and what we believe is right. The death of our selfishness in this flesh. But He's also calling us to life. Life within Him. Life led and guided by Him through His Spirit. One of self-sacrifice, one of service, one of love. One who has compassion and love for others. This is our new life. This is the life that Jesus came to give us. This pinnacle of humanity, the perfect human being, died and was raised again so that we also could be raised to new life. And so that this flesh and this world is not the end, but something much greater is promised to each and every one of us. And now, after His death and resurrection, we no longer keep silent like the disciples. And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. And they kept silent and told no one in those days anything of what they had seen. You see, the last one standing, the only one that is left there with the disciples, is Jesus Christ. It's okay to know the heroes of the Old Testament. It's a good thing to understand what they went through, for theirs is the example to us. Those who saw God firsthand and yet turned away from Him. Sometimes we think that, well, if God would just indeed show us like He did in the Old Testament, or like He did through Jesus, then we'd be much stronger in our faith. The Old Testament is the history of humankind and how faithless, unfortunately, we are. Moses is on the mount, or up on the mountain, and the Israelites have just been given the Ten Commandments. Well, he's been up there too long, and they can see the evidence of God on that mountain, and they're down worshiping a golden calf and making their own God. And this is the reason that God had to send His Son. Because we, in and of ourselves, have no ability to live this new life that we are called to. And so, Jesus Christ did it for us. We are now given His righteousness. We are now given His Spirit to lead and to guide us every day, and as a promise, and can live in the truth of that promise. And He is working in and through us each and every day. Listen to Him. That's really the point of all this text. Christians are to listen to Jesus Christ. This is God's instructions, directly from His mouth, for all of us. Listen to Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You understanding that, Father, we are imperfect. But also understanding, Father, that through Your Son, Jesus Christ, You have perfected us in Him. That we are just awaiting that consummation when we too will be glorified. Father, help us. By the power of Your Word and Your Holy Spirit, work in and through us. Transform us. Move us. That, Father, we would hear the words of Your Son and we would be followers of Him. We ask, Father, that You would continue to work through Your body, Your people. Father, that You would help us to go out into our communities, our workplaces, wherever we may be, and spread Your love and Your gospel to all those that we come in contact with. We pray these things in Jesus' name.